A few slapped me on the back, but no one said a thing. This was what I needed. If I couldn't have Maggie with me all the time, then this was the only other way to keep my mind free of shit. As I tied my cleats, I stood up to see Brady walking over to me. He wanted answers, and I wasn't going to give them to him. What I told him this morning was his answer. "How long has she been talking to you?" he asked in a hushed voice. I grabbed my helmet and started walking to the door. "A while," I replied. "How long's a while? Since the hospital, or before?" "Before." Brady fell into step beside me. "That's why you grew attached so fast, isn't it? She's been helping you deal with things. She's been there." I didn't reply. I didn't know the answer. Maybe that was why I'd grown attached to her so quickly. Grief changed you, made you react differently. But I didn't want to say that I wouldn't have wanted Maggie had she not spoken to me. But would I have? "You understand probably better than anyone what she's gone through. If she's told you stuff, it's more than she's told anyone else." He was right. She had, but I wasn't going to tell him that. "She needs to talk to other people," Brady added. He wasn't going to let up about this. I had to shut this down. Until Maggie was ready to talk, I wasn't going to let anyone make her. I stopped walking and looked at him. "She isn't ready. It's how she deals. Let her deal with things the way she needs to. I won't let anyone push her, not even you," I told him. Then I walked off toward the field and left him standing there. It was almost midnight when Maggie slid her window open for me to come inside. I had practice until late, then gone to the bluff and sat up there for a few hours. When Mama had called about me coming home to eat, I did, for her. Then my grandmother had asked me about college, and I had left without answering her. She hadn't been there for us before, and she had no right to interfere with my life now. I called Mama and told her to go to sleep, told her I'd be home soon, that I was at Brady's. That was the truth. I was at Brady's. I just wasn't here for Brady. I think she probably knew that, but she didn't ask. Maggie stood in the middle of her room in a pair of baggy sweatpants tied at the waist and a tank top. Her long hair was in a messy knot on top of her head, and she couldn't have looked more beautiful. I'd missed her this afternoon. I always missed her when she wasn't with me. That scared me if I thought about it too much. I didn't want to miss her like this. I could lose her. No, I wasn't going to lose Maggie. I wouldn't let that happen. I would make her want to stay with me. I'd be whatever she needed me to be.
"Hey,"
she said softly. I grinned. "Hey." Closing the distance between us, I reached for her and held her close to me.
"Missed you,"
I whispered before pressing a kiss to her lips. She had great lips. She laughed against my kiss. I loved that sound. She didn't laugh often, but when she did, it was like magic. "What's so funny?" I asked, unable to keep the incredibly pleased smile from hearing her laughter off my face.
"You just saw me a few hours ago," she said.
I shook my head. "No, I saw you 9 hours ago. That is not a few. It's a fucking long time." Maggie pressed her lips together, and her eyes danced with laughter. She wasn't wearing any makeup. Her face was washed clean. I loved that she had known I was coming over and didn't fix up. She was just her, and she was comfortable being just her.
"You really should be sleeping. You have the game tomorrow night," she said, as she placed a hand on my chest.
"I am going to sleep, here with you. I'll set my alarm to get up at 5, and I'll go home. But tonight, I want to hold you." Her eyes sparked with pleasure. That made me think about things. Things I shouldn't be thinking about. Not in her house. Not where Boone was so close to us. I glanced over at her bed and could see she had already been in it tonight. I hadn't texted her I was coming over until about an hour ago. I wondered if she'd been asleep then. Seeing her covers messy and knowing I was going to have her cuddled up against me all night made everything that felt hollow fade away. Maggie made me feel like a caveman. I liked having her with me. Maggie slipped her hand into mine, and I had that familiar feeling of peace that had gotten me through this last month. 4 weeks. Tomorrow, it would have been exactly 1 month since I kissed her at the field party. She'd come into my life when I thought I was going to lose myself, when I wasn't sure I had the strength to make it. And she'd shown me I could. She had reminded me that I wasn't the only person on earth to lose a parent. Maggie pulled the covers back on my side, then crawled over to her side to straighten her sheets. Seeing her like this, being here with her like this, made me want things. Things that should be for me and me only. For example, I never wanted another guy to see her dressed like that on this bed. Just me. I didn't want her to ever slip her hand in another guy's hand. Ever. Just mine. "You have to get in order to go to sleep," Maggie whispered, a playful smile on her lips. She had become my lifeline. I wanted to be hers. I wanted her to feel this way about me, too. I climbed into the bed and lay on my back with one arm behind my head and the other one held out for Maggie, inviting her to come lay her head on my chest. She didn't need instruction. She knew exactly what I wanted. When her head was right where I liked it, I slipped my hands into her silky hair and untied her bun. She didn't protest. We lay there quietly for a few minutes while I played with her hair and stared at the ceiling fan. My head was a mix of emotions. She'd entered my life when I'd needed her most. I'd never expected this, or her. But now that I had her, I wasn't sure how I'd make it this long without her.
My Girl, Chapter 37, Maggie. When Aunt Coralie knocked on my bedroom door to wake me, I had a brief moment of panic until I saw West wasn't in my bed anymore. I guess I hadn't woken up when he'd left. There was a note on the pillow where he had slept. I rubbed the sleep out of my eyes and then opened the folded paper.
"Good morning, beautiful. You were sleeping so peacefully when I left. I didn't want to wake you. But today I'd like to be the one to take you to school. I'll be by at 7:30. If Brady gives you a hard time, call me and hand the phone to him."
He wanted me to ride with him to school. I glanced up at the mirror across from my bed and saw the smile on my face. It was a real smile, one filled with excitement and hope. For a long time, that smile had been a stranger to me. Now I was happy. Standing up, I walked over to the mirror, then reached out and touched the girl there. She was older than the one I once knew. Her eyes held more strength and maturity. But she was happy. That was familiar.
"You'd like him, Mom," I whispered. "He's wonderful."
She would have wanted me to tell her everything about him. She'd squeal with me when I told her about our first kiss. She would listen to me talk about him and not get bored. She hadn't just been my mother. She'd been my best friend. Knowing that West would make her happy for me made me feel even more complete. The emptiness that had become part of me wasn't so empty anymore. West was filling it. Aunt Coralie's voice calling that breakfast was ready reminded me that I had to hurry. I wanted to let her know I was riding with West today. It was his game day, and I wanted to surprise him with my school spirit, too. I just needed to get Brady to lend me a jersey. 15 minutes later, I was dressed and headed to the kitchen. I had texted Brady asking him if I could borrow a jersey. He'd agreed and said he'd bring it to the kitchen for me. I also had a note in my hand that wasn't asking, more like telling Aunt Coralie, that I was riding with Wes today. When I got there, Brady was already at the table eating a plate full of eggs and bacon. He was wearing the blue jersey that he would wear tonight. There was another blue one folded up on the table that had his same number, but looked like it had been worn more.
"Here you go. You can take my jersey from last year,"
he said, a grin tugging on the corners of his lips. Did he think it was silly for me to wear it? Was this something I shouldn't do yet?
"Good morning, Maggie. I have your plate on the warmer. Let me get it."
Aunt Coralie paused and looked at the white tank top I was wearing and frowned.
I don't think you can wear that to school."
"Oh, she's not. She's wearing my old jersey today," he replied.
Aunt Coralie's eyes lit up, and she smiled. Well, that is so sweet, isn't it, Brady? Brady continued to look like he was going to burst into laughter at any minute.
Sure is,
he managed to say before eating another forkful of eggs. I decided to ignore him and went to slip the jersey on before handing my note to Aunt Coralie. She read it, then smiled softly. Sure, sweetie, that's fine. I expected this. Relieved, I took my plate of food from her hands and moved to the table.
What did you expect?
Brady asked. That she'd start riding with Wes to school soon. Brady smirked again.
So, she's riding with Wes today?
I nodded as Aunt Coralie said, yes. Brady was being weird, so I decided to ignore him. I was excited about riding with Wes. I was excited about his seeing me in a jersey. I was also excited about just seeing him. He gave me a reason to love life again. I'd not really lived in 2 years, and I finally realized now I had missed so much. Not speaking had protected me in many ways, but it had also isolated me from everyone. When Aunt Coralie walked upstairs, Brady looked over at me.
What I warned you about with West is still something you need to remember. But I admit he is different with you. I've never seen him treat anyone the way he treats you, so maybe this is more to him than other relationships have been. I'm just afraid you could be a crutch to get him through dealing with his dad's death. When someone else he wants comes along, he might take her. You'd be forgotten.
He said, then he stood up.
Guard your heart. He won't mean to hurt you, but in the end, he might.
A sharp knock interrupted Brady. He glanced at the door as I stood up. I knew it was West. I grabbed my plate and took it to the sink before hurrying to the door. I opened the door. West smiled the moment our eyes met. Then the smile faltered as he looked down at my jersey.
You're wearing Brady's jersey,
he said as his eyes found mine again. I smiled and nodded. I wanted him to be happy. I was showing my support for the team and for him. Brady let out a snicker, and I turned to see him covering his mouth as he turned to walk up the stairs. Why was he laughing? Had I done something wrong? Wes' arm went around my waist, and he took my book bag with his other hand as he glared after Brady.
Let's go,
he said, sounding less than pleased. Did I do something wrong? I asked, feeling sick to my stomach. Wes' happy smile was gone. He didn't reply as he opened his truck door and put my bag in. Then he grabbed me by the waist and lifted me as if I were a child and couldn't get in by myself. Once I was in the seat, I was at eye level with him. He leaned in and kissed me. It wasn't the sweet, tender kind of kiss I was used to, but it was just as good. I felt like he was marking me and trying to drink me in all at the same time. He had me clinging to him and melting against him by the time he pulled away.
You can't wear Brady's jersey,
he said simply, then closed the door and headed for the driver's side. If I couldn't wear Brady's jersey, then why was he taking me to school in it? I need to change then, I said as he opened his door and climbed inside. He nodded in agreement.
Buckle up,
he instructed me. I did as I was told, and he pulled out onto the street and headed for school. I waited for him to explain about the jersey, but he never said anything. At all. The 5-minute drive to Lawton High was short, and I wanted to know why I couldn't wear Brady's jersey. I started to open my mouth when Wes drove past the parking lot and toward the field house. Was he going to make me take it off and leave it in there? Because Aunt Coralie was right, I couldn't wear this tank top to school. I'd be sent home fast. What are we doing? I asked as his door swung open and he got out. He closed it and headed to my side without answering me. When he opened my door, he grabbed me and kissed me again before picking me up and putting me down on the ground.
We're going to fix your jersey,
he said simply. Then he took my hand, and we walked inside the field house. It was deserted this morning, thank goodness. I didn't want to see naked guys. That would be very embarrassing. Wes took me past a row of lockers, then stopped once he got to the large ones on the end. I saw his last name written above a locker right before he opened it up.
Take that off,
he said as he reached into the locker to pull out a neatly folded jersey on the top shelf. He was giving me his jersey. My heart rate picked up as I quickly took off Brady's jersey. Wes turned to look at me and stopped. Instead of handing me the shirt, he stepped toward me and bent his head to kiss my exposed collarbone, before burying his head in my neck and inhaling deeply. I shivered, but remained very still. I was afraid if I moved, it would break the spell. I didn't want him to stop. I loved having him close to me like this. His hand slid around my waist, and he held me against him as his tongue began to take little licks of my neck, followed by kisses. I dropped Brady's jersey and grabbed Wes's arms to keep my knees from buckling.
"Tastes so good. Smells so good,"
he whispered as his mouth moved lower, and he brushed his lips across the tops of my breasts several times. I watched him in fascination. He lifted his eyes to look at me as he pulled my tank top down a little to continue his trail of kisses.
"I need to stop. But I need you to tell me to stop."
His voice was deep. I didn't want him to stop. Getting to class had taken a back seat to this.
"If I tug this down any farther, I'm gonna want more. More than you need to give me in a dirty locker room. I swore to myself the next time I touch you like this, I'd have you somewhere special."
He had robbed me of words. I just stood there holding on to his arms as he cupped one of my breasts through my shirt and kissed the top of the other. Then he growled and closed his eyes tightly before dropping his hands and moving away. I felt cold with him gone. I wanted him back.
"Lift your arms,"
he said as he picked back up the jersey he'd gotten from his locker. I did as I was told, and he slipped it over my head. Once he was happy that I had it on properly, he stepped back and looked at me.
"Just my jersey, Maggie. No one else's. Ever. I don't want anyone's jersey touching you but mine. Keep this one. Wear it any damn time you want, but don't ever put Brady's on again."
"Oh. Okay. Oh my." I nodded and resisted the urge to wrap my arms around the shirt I was now wearing and cuddle with it. It smelled like West. I was never gonna want to wash it. He grinned.
"My girl. My fucking jersey."
Would I be her choice? Chapter 38. West. Tonight Maggie sat with my mom at the game. Every chance I got, I looked up at them. Maggie would wave most of the time, but then sometimes I'd catch her talking to my mother. My chest would feel so full, I wondered if it could burst. After each touchdown, I'd glance up to see Maggie standing and cheering with a huge grin on her face, my fucking jersey covering her body. God, I love that. Everyone saw she was mine. When I'd seen her in Brady's jersey this morning, I'd wanted to take it off her and burn it. The amused smirk on Brady's face hadn't helped. He'd known when she'd asked him for it, how I'd react. Asswipe had done it on purpose and gotten a kick out of it. When he'd walked down the hall and seen her in my jersey, he'd burst out laughing. No one but the three of us knew what he found so funny. Maggie had even grinned and ducked her head as her cheeks flushed. She had been trying to please me. She just had no idea that a girl wearing a guy's jersey meant she was his. Family or not, she wasn't wearing Brady's fucking jersey, or anyone else's for that matter. Just mine. We won by a touchdown. Gunner caught a beautiful pass and ran it in to win us the game in the final 3 minutes. It had been a high-scoring game for both teams. I was worried at one point that we'd need to go into overtime, but Gunner fixed that. When I walked out of the locker room, Maggie was standing there waiting on me. Her smile, when our eyes locked, eased the sadness I'd felt when I walked out and my dad wasn't there.
"You were amazing, I think. I don't know much about it, but you look really good in those pants," she said in a whisper when I got close enough to hold her.
Chuckling, I kissed her forehead, then her nose, and finally her mouth. "Seeing you up there in my jersey, looking like an angel, helped. I'm gonna need that every game now." She smiled.
I think I can make that happen.
Tonight, I was taking her to the field party. Although she'd been to many, tonight she'd actually attend one. She would be with me, not hiding in the dark corners waiting for Brady. The idea of his leaving her out there still pissed me off. I didn't like thinking about how alone she'd been, how no one had been there for her. Good game, babe. I looked up from my own private little world with Maggie to see Rayleigh standing there. Thanks, but I'm not your babe, I replied, trying to get her to leave. Rayleigh laughed and bit her bottom lip like she thought that was sexy. Maybe not right now, but you're going to get bored with the mute girl and want some action eventually. I'll be waiting. I was always there for you when you needed me. I want that back, West. I miss us, she said in a low voice that sounded pleading. I hated it when people took pot shots at Maggie. I'd planned to be nice to Rayleigh while firmly sending her on her way, but she'd gone and said shit to piss me off.
I can talk. I just choose who I talk to. So stop trying to upset me. It's not working.
I stood there staring at Maggie as she spoke so clearly and matter-of-factly to Rayleigh.
So you do talk, huh?
Does Brady know this? Rayleigh asked, and I took a step toward her, putting myself between her and Maggie. But Maggie's hand touched my arm as she held onto it and moved to stand beside me.
Yes, he does. Now you can leave, Maggie said, not backing down.
I stared down at her. Was there nothing about her that wasn't perfect? She'd even dealt with my ex-girlfriend without being dramatic.
God, you can't even stop looking at her, Rayleigh said in a disgusted tone.
She was right. I couldn't. I didn't look up, but I knew Rayleigh had left once Maggie's shoulders relaxed and she turned to meet my gaze.
I've decided that I need to enter the world again, engage, speak. But until I tell my aunt and uncle, I'm not going to talk to anyone else. Except you, of course.
Except me. I kissed her hard on the lips and tried like hell not to let the fear of losing her take control of me. I wanted her to talk. I wanted her to live her life to the fullest. I just didn't know if I trusted that I'd be enough for her then. Right now, I was her world because she spoke only to me and my mom. When she talked to other people and let them in, would she still choose to be with me? I had Maggie's hand tucked inside mine as we walked toward the guys at the party. Brady was parking his truck up here again now that he didn't have Maggie hiding out in the dark by herself. Nash was the first one to notice us, and he gave me a tight smile. He still hadn't warmed up to the idea of me and Maggie, but it wasn't because he didn't like her. It was the opposite. Knowing he'd seen her wearing my jersey all day made the jealous monster inside me stay down. As soon as Nash had met Maggie, he'd recognized something special in her, same as I had. He'd just not been dealing with shit that made him an idiot. Lucky for me, she recognized something inside me, too, and overlooked that I was an idiot. "You ready for this?" I asked her as we got close to the guys. She tilted her head back to look up at me and smiled. That was all I needed.
"Welcome to the family, Maggie,"
Riker said, holding up his beer, a big grin on his face.
"About time you joined us."
I glanced at Brady. It was his fault she'd not been with us from the beginning. He should feel like shit that he'd left her out there alone. But the look on his face eased my anger some. He wasn't proud of himself. I could see that much. Ivy was curled up at his side again tonight. I never knew when they were on again or off again. Brady just seemed so detached from her, like he was letting her stay here because she wanted to. Not because he wanted her here.
3 games, 3 wins,
I can taste state already, Asa said as he walked up to the group and took a seat beside Ivy and Brady on the tailgate. I didn't want to share a seat with anyone, just Maggie. I led her over to the hay bale that was unoccupied and sat on it before tugging her down to sit on my lap. I pressed a kiss to her ear, then whispered, "You thirsty? I forgot to get you something." She shook her head and leaned into me. I held her close, not paying any attention to the others, until I heard Nash say my name. It was hard snapping out of my thoughts about Maggie to respond. She was just more interesting than he was.
"What?"
I asked, turning my attention to Nash.
You had Tennessee recruiting you. That's still a go, or are you holding out for Bama?
Football. Next year. Something I hadn't thought about. Didn't want to think about. Not with Dad gone. Not with Maggie here. I shrugged because I didn't know the answer. Yes, Tennessee was watching me. I just didn't care.
We all got decisions to make. Let's wait until football season is over before we make them. Tonight we need to be talking about Gunner's lightning feat,
Brady said, changing the subject and shutting that down. Gunner held up his beer.
To me, because I kick ass, he yelled,
and everyone laughed and held up their cups. Maggie's shoulders shook with silent laughter, and she laid her head on my shoulder as she watched them, and I watched her.
You're gonna own me. Chapter 39. Maggie. Listening to West laugh and talk with his friends while he held me in his arms was perfect. It was exactly how I wanted my first real field party experience to be. I couldn't imagine it any other way now. We didn't stay as long as the others. After an hour or so, West was ready to leave. I knew we weren't going home yet, and I was happy to go with him wherever. I argued with him over what was considered good music as we drove up to the bluff. He liked country music of all kinds, but I preferred classic rock. When he finally parked in our spot, he reached over and turned off the radio before cupping my face in his hands and kissing me like I was something precious. This was my favorite kind of kiss. I love them all, but when he did this, it made me feel like nothing could touch me. Like nothing could ever hurt me again. I lost myself in his touch, and it wasn't until he broke our kiss that I opened my eyes and remembered I wasn't floating on a cloud.
Do you want me with you when you tell your aunt and uncle you're going to talk again?
It was a question, but I heard the hope in his voice. He wanted to be there with me. This was important to him, and that made me love him even more. Yes, I replied. He let out a breath he'd been holding.
Good. I'd be worried about you if I weren't there. I want to be there for you, Maggie. I don't...
He stopped and glanced off toward the town's lights below us.
I don't want you to feel like you always have to be my strength. I want to be that for you, too.
He shifted his gaze back to me.
I want to mean to you what you mean to me.
That wasn't an I love you, but it was close enough. That last sentence said more than he knew. I could tell he was worried that he wouldn't be as important to me once I started talking to other people. He didn't want to lose the connection we had. I reached up and cupped his face this time. Before you, I never smiled. I never laughed. I'd forgotten how. I was alone and I didn't know any other way. But you saved me. You make me feel appreciated, needed, wanted. You brought me out, and you gave me reasons to laugh again. Just seeing you makes me smile. No one could ever mean to me what you mean to me. Wes grinned like a little boy who had been given his ultimate wish, and then he held me against him so tightly I could hardly breathe. I didn't complain, but when he eased up, I took a deep breath. He stared down at me for a few moments before his hand slid between my thighs.
How are you? There?
He asked, holding his hand close enough to make tingles start between my legs, but not so close as to actually brush against me. Not sore anymore, I replied, feeling my face get hot. He inhaled sharply, and his nostrils flared. The heat in his eyes was enough to turn on all my switches.
I don't want you to think that this is what we are about. I've had that kind of relationship and it's empty. And it's not us. What we have is more. I want you to always know you're more. So if you want to stop and not do that again, I'll understand. I'm okay, even if I just get to hold you.
He was worried I'd think he just wanted sex. He was wrapping himself so tightly around my heart, I feared it was too much, too fast, but I wouldn't stop it. I want us to be more, I replied, but I like that too. Wes let out a soft chuckle.
You're gonna own me.
I reached down and took his hand and slid it up to where I wanted it to be. I want more of this with you. Wes' strong fingers moved my shorts out of the way and were inside without any more argument. I arched my back and cried out from the sudden pleasure. He held on to me as he kissed down my neck, telling me how perfect, beautiful, and special I was. He never said, I love you, but neither did I. Hours later, I was tucked into bed when Wes climbed in through my window. I opened my eyes and watched as he slipped off his boots and jeans, then climbed in with me. Once he had me curled up on his chest, he kissed the top of my head.
One day, I'm gonna make love to you on a bed, he whispered.
I drifted off to sleep, thinking about Wes and I doing something much more interesting than just sleeping in my bed. When I woke the next morning, Wes was gone, and the sun was pouring in through my windows. I buried my head in the pillow he'd been sleeping on and inhaled deeply. I loved smelling him. I got up and went to get dressed so I could go down and eat breakfast. Also, I wanted to let Aunt Coralie know that I'd like to talk to her, Uncle Boone, and Brady sometime today. Whenever she said was a good time, I'd let Wes know. Today was a big day for me. Today I would stop hiding. I'd make real relationships with my family. I was excited about that, but I was also scared, afraid of what they'd ask me, terrified they'd want me to speak of that day. I didn't want to describe that day again, ever. Having Wes beside me while I told them would help, and it would explain a lot about my relationship with him that I knew they didn't understand. But I needed them to be clear that I wouldn't talk about that day to them or anyone else. I never wanted to mention my father again. If they wanted to talk about my mother and fond memories of her, I could do that. I wanted that now. I was ready for that now. Brady was sitting at the table, his hair sticking up in random places, wearing only a pair of plaid pajama pants while he ate a bowl of cereal and drank a cup of coffee. The newspaper was open to the sports section, and he was reading it intently. Aunt Coralie was standing at the bar in the kitchen, writing down a list. It was for groceries. I knew that list. She did it every Saturday. She looked up at me when I entered and beamed a bright, cheery smile. Good morning. I'm ashamed to say I didn't cook any breakfast. We're out of most everything. I'm going to run to the store this afternoon to get what we need. But for now, you'll have to make do with cereal or toast. I think we have some fresh fruit, too. I was good with a bowl of cereal. It was what I'd lived off of during my 2 years with Jory. She hadn't cooked at all. But she'd also rarely been home. I'd lived alone for the most part. Brady glanced up at me, then went back to reading his paper and eating. I walked over to Aunt Coralie and laid down the note I'd written about talking to them today. I figured walking down here and announcing we needed to discuss the fact that I was talking again would be too much of a surprise. I also wouldn't get a chance to tell them what I was willing to talk about and what I wasn't. I didn't want to go to a counselor, therapist, shrink, whatever you call them. I'd been to 10 of those. None of them had helped me at all. I wasn't going back, and they needed to know that. Aunt Coralie read the note, then looked up at me with a concerned frown. Well, sure, sweetheart. We can talk now if you like, she said. Brady jerked his head up and looked back at us.
Talk about what?
He asked. Maggie wants to talk to all of us about something, she said, glancing at him for a moment before looking back at me. Here, you can use my pen. She handed me her pen. I shook my head. Then I pointed to the part in the note that said all three of them. Her frown deepened. Okay, yes. Well, let me go get your Uncle Boone. He's outside cutting grass. She patted my arm and hurried for the door. She wasn't going to give me much time to get West here. I didn't try texting him in case he was asleep. I called instead. he answered on the first ring.
She's just like her mama. Chapter 40. West. Maggie was waiting outside on the porch swing when I pulled up. She'd called me just as I was getting out of the shower. Somehow, I'd made it here in 10 minutes. My hair had still been wet, and I hadn't been able to find any underwear, but I'd made it. She stood up from the swing and walked over to the top of the steps. "Hey," I said, pressing a kiss to her lips. "You ready to do this?" I could see the anxiety in her eyes when she nodded. I slipped my hand over hers. This time, I would be the one holding her up. She'd make it through this. I wouldn't let go.
"They're waiting. Brady heard me call you, so he explained that I was waiting on you, and I wanted you in on this conversation. But I think I've worried them. Brady knows, but Aunt Coralie and Uncle Boone look really concerned."
I tilted my head toward the door. "Let's go do this, then. I'll be right there the whole time." She gave me a relieved smile, and my heart thudded against my chest. She made me feel things I'd never felt before, things I wanted more of, things I didn't want to live without. I followed her inside, and sure enough, all three Higginses were sitting in the living room, waiting. Brady was the only one who was relaxed and looked bored. His parents were on the edges of their seats. There was a notepad and a pencil on the table in front of Coralie. I wondered if she'd brought that for this discussion. Maggie walked to stand in front of them all, and I squeezed her hand. She could do this. I'd make sure she could.
"I want to talk again,"
she said in a soft voice that startled both her aunt and uncle. I'd never seen Boone's eyes get so wide.
"I want to be part of this family. I'm ready for that. But I need you to understand something,"
she said to them, then glanced at me. Her hand was still tucked inside mine, and I nodded to reassure her.
"I don't want to talk about that day. I don't want to talk about him. I don't want to talk to a therapist. I do want to talk about my mom. Good memories. I like thinking about her, and I've talked about her with West a lot. He listens, but I'd like to share memories with other people who knew her and loved her. But the rest, I can't. I stopped talking to protect myself, from me and from everyone else. It's how I survived."
She stopped and waited. Coralie stood, and tears welled up in her eyes.
"We won't make you talk about anything you don't want to, Maggie. I promise you that. I'm just..."
She let out a small sob.
"It's good to hear your voice again,"
she finally said, before covering her mouth and letting out another sob. Maggie's shoulders eased some. That was what she'd needed to hear. Boone looked at me, then back at Maggie. "I reckon he's who got you to talk. He needed you, and you knew you could help him, so you talked. Sounds like something your mama would have done." He moved his attention back to me. "She's just like her mama. Special, kind, sweet, but strong, too. She survived a lot. And if this," he said, pointing at the two of us, "is more than friendship now, then you be sure you're ready to cherish her. You hurt her, and I'll hurt you. Don't care who you are." He was protecting her, like a father, like her father should be doing. I'd always liked Boone Higgins, but he'd just climbed a notch in my eyes. He was being the father Maggie needed. The one she'd been given had destroyed her life. Now Boone was going to protect it. I nodded. "Yes, sir. I know how special she is. I would never hurt her. I swear." He didn't seem convinced, but he looked back at Maggie. "I love you, little girl. I loved your mama. Losing her changed all our lives, but it especially changed yours. We want to help you heal, if you'll let us." A tear rolled down Maggie's face, and I had to fight my instinct to grab her and comfort her. She needed this with them. I couldn't step in now.
"Thank you. I like it here. I like this house and all of you. I feel safe, and it's been a long time since I've felt safe. Thank you for giving me a home."
Brady stood up. "I'm just glad you came so I could finally get my attic bedroom," he said,
then winked at her. Maggie laughed, and I fought the little bit of jealousy that tugged at me over someone else making her laugh. I loved her laugh, but it seemed I was getting possessive of it. She had a family now, one she would allow into her world. Maggie wouldn't be silent anymore. I left Maggie with her Aunt Coralie to go grocery shopping after lunch. I needed to get home because my mama wanted me there to tell my grandmother goodbye today. I had managed to dodge the woman most of the time she'd been there. The only time Mama hadn't been with her was at my game last night. Walking inside, I stopped when I saw several suitcases by the front door, one of those being my mother's. My grandmother was sitting on the sofa, her back straight and her hands in her lap, as if she were posing for a photo. It was creepy as hell. "Mama?" I called out, instead of speaking to that woman. My mother came around the corner, another duffel bag on her arm. She looked nervous and uncertain. My stomach knotted up. I wasn't moving. We hadn't talked about this yet, but I sure as hell wasn't leaving Lawton. "What's going on?" I asked, afraid to step any farther into the room. Mama gave me a sad look, then put the bag down on top of her suitcase. "I wanted to talk to you about this before you left this morning, but you just took off. Which is okay. You have a life. I don't want your life to change. I just..." She glanced at her mother, then back at me. "I need a break from here. Being in this house is hard on me. I keep thinking your dad is going to walk in the door any minute. I miss him, and being here makes that so much worse. I just need a break. I would love for you to go with me, but I know with football and Maggie, I don't expect you to. I won't be gone but a couple of weeks. Please understand. I can't be here all day alone with his memory." Her eyes filled with tears and began to roll down her face. "You want to go to Louisiana?" I'd been there, and I couldn't understand why anyone would choose to visit my grandmother's house. It wouldn't be an uplifting trip. She'd be in hell with that woman, and in that house. She nodded and wiped at her face. "It was my home once. I know you don't have fond memories of it, but I do. I need something to take my mind off the pain, the sadness." This was her choice to make, and I wanted her to be happy again. I hated thinking of her in pain and suffering here alone, while I went to school and practice and spent time with Maggie. And I would miss her, but I wasn't leaving Lawton. "You're 18. You're a man now. You'll be fine here while I'm gone. You have your friends and Maggie. The moment you need me, call me and I'll be here. But I have to get away, West. I have to." I did the only thing I could do. I walked over and hugged her. We had both lost Dad. I'd had Maggie to help me deal with the pain. She had no one. "I love you, Mama. I understand." She sniffed and squeezed me tightly around the waist. "I love you, too, and I'm so proud of you." But she was leaving me. Dad had just left us, and she was leaving me, too.
She's been paying attention in her silent wonderland. Chapter 41. Maggie. Shopping for groceries with Aunt Coralie was interesting. She chatted a lot and asked all kinds of questions. I didn't realize how much she hadn't found out about me yet. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. When we got home, Brady was outside playing basketball with Asa, Gunner, Riker, and Nash. Aunt Coralie stopped and tossed them all Gatorades from one of the bags before she went on inside. They each grabbed a couple of bags, too, and the car was quickly unloaded. I helped her put things away and had just started heading up to my room when Gunner stopped me.
"Hey, you gonna talk to us now, too?"
I hadn't told Brady not to say anything to his friends. They were Wes's friends, too. But now that they knew I was speaking, I wasn't sure how to handle them. I didn't want a million questions from them, either.
"It's okay. He told us you got limits. Come on and hang out down here with us," Riker called out as he sank onto the sofa, a bag of chips in his hand.
I turned around and walked back down the steps. If I wanted to fit into Wes's world, I would have to do this.
"You've been whispering to Wes for weeks. I've seen it,
Nash said from his perch on the bar stool.
I tried to get you to talk to me, but nothing. West crooks his finger and you start chatting him up. Nash?
Brady's tone held a warning. Nash shrugged, then smirked at me.
It's okay. You can come talk to me now.
I asked her to stay down here and talk to us. She can come talk to me, Riker argued.
I glanced at Brady, who shrugged and rolled his eyes before grabbing the Xbox remote and sitting down on a beanbag chair. Gunner's arm rested on my shoulders, startling me.
She wants to talk to me, don't you, sugar?
He said, sounding like his usual cocky, arrogant self.
Gonna get that arm ripped off if Wes shows up,
Asa warned him. Gunner flexed his arm that was around my shoulders.
I ain't scared of West. He won't hurt these priceless receiving arms.
Shit,
Asa drawled, shaking his head and picking up the other Xbox remote.
Y'all back off her. She decided she wants to talk, and y'all are gonna have her changing her mind.
Brady grumbled without taking his eyes off the screen.
I just want to hear her say something,
Nash called from across the room. I could stand here silent and let them go on, or I could say something and get this awkward moment behind me. Sucking in the courage I needed, I turned to Nash. What would you like me to say? I asked. The room went silent. Then Nash's face broke into a grin.
Well, hell, Maggie. Even your voice is pretty. I was thinking the same thing,
Gunner added, still draped around me. Thank you. I replied, not really knowing what to say to that.
You're welcome, sugar,
Gunner said, sounding amused.
Seriously, get your arm off her before Wes gets here,
Nash said, glaring at Gunner.
You ain't worried about Wes. You're just jealous. You've been after her since she showed up, but you move too slow, and dude, you snooze, you lose.
Gunner taunted him. I decided to end this before it got ridiculous. I moved away from Gunner, causing him to drop his arm. I'm not your sugar, I informed him. And seriously, if a girl lacks being your sugar, she needs her head evaluated.
And that's how you burn his ass, Riker said through his laughter.
Everyone knows that Gunner loves Gunner more than anyone else. A girl would be naive to think differently, I added. Gunner laughed this time.
She's been paying attention in her silent wonderland.
That ain't real hard to figure out, douche, Asa said with a chuckle.
Not to change the subject, but did y'all know Riley Young was back in town?
Nash asked, looking from Brady to Gunner almost nervously. Gunner's easygoing demeanor died. Coldness came over his face that I'd never seen before.
She won't stay long. No one wants her here,
he said as he stalked back toward the kitchen. Once he was out of the room, Brady stopped playing long enough to shoot an annoyed look at Nash.
Did you have to bring that shit up? We all knew she was back. No reason to point it out. I saw her at a field party a couple weeks back. I made sure she knew she wasn't wanted, and then I told him I'd seen her. You saw her at a party? Fuck, she's got nerve,
Asa said, sounding amazed.
She didn't stay. Never saw her come into the clearing. Doubt she got out of her car.
The dark-haired girl who'd driven up that night and who Brady had glared at before walking off. I'd forgotten about that. That had to be who they were talking about. But why do they hate her?
Riley Young don't belong here. We'll all make sure she gets that message if she tries coming back to Lawton High. No one wants her there, and Gunner doesn't need that screwing with his head,
Brady said, as if he could control it all. She had been beautiful. I remembered that much. And she'd seemed sad and lonely. I couldn't imagine that the girl I'd seen that night had done something so horrible they all had a reason to hate her. Especially Gunner. There was a knock at the front door before it swung open. West walked in, and his eyes immediately locked on me. I forgot everything else and smiled. He made me smile. I couldn't help it.
I Can't Be Your Crutch. Chapter 42. West. The weekend went fast. Too fast. I wasn't home enough to notice Mama wasn't there. But then I also wasn't going home, because it was too hard. I slept in Maggie's room until 5 and then snuck out and went to my house to shower, change, and eat before heading out again. I just couldn't stay there long. It was the laughter that haunted me most. The times I'd run in the house, excited about something, and Dad and Mom were there to listen to me. Our family dinners always came back to me as I sat at the table and ate all alone. Monday morning, though, I was focused on Maggie. She'd be going to school today without her safety walls of silence in place. Her aunt was going with her this morning to talk to the principal about Maggie's decision to speak. Also about Maggie's preference not to have to see a counselor. I wanted to pick her up and take her, but I settled for waiting outside the office until Maggie and Cora Lee walked out. The late bell hadn't rung yet, but I wasn't concerned with being late. I was worried about Maggie. She was going to have to face first period without me. Hell, she had to face all her periods without me. Maggie's eyes lit up when she saw me standing there, and she immediately came over to me and slipped her hand in mine. "Good morning," I said, loving that she came to me so easily. "Good morning," she replied, then glanced back at her aunt. "I'll see you after school." "Y'all have a good day," Cora Lee called after us as we walked off toward our lockers. "Didn't like not taking you to school today," I said, as soon as we were far enough away from Cora Lee.
"I missed you too,"
she replied, a smirk on her sweet lips. "Wish I were going with you to all your classes." She squeezed my hand.
"I'll be okay. Promise."
I knew she would, but that didn't change the fact that I wanted to be holding her hand. I wanted to be there, making sure everyone was nice to her, that no one was too nice to her, and that... No, I had to get control of myself. I didn't want to smother her with my possessiveness. She was learning to live again, and I had to let her breathe. It wasn't until after third period that the fact she was talking to other people really hit home for me. Seeing Vance Young standing at her locker as she looked up at him and talked to him felt like a fucking slice in my gut. I hated that. She was mine. She talked only to me. I didn't want to share her. My dad was gone. My mother had left me. And I wouldn't lose Maggie. "Back off, Young," I snarled as I shoved him away from Maggie and slid my arm around her waist, pulling her against me.
"What the fuck, West?" Vance said, glaring at me. "You mad because my sister's back? You're all a bunch of fuckers, you know that? You don't know shit about what happened, about her."
This wasn't about Riley. That was Gunner's battle, not mine. I couldn't give a shit if Riley's back in town or not, but don't get that close to my girl again. Vance looked down at Maggie, then back at me. "I thought y'all were friends. That's what Serena said last period. I didn't know she was yours." "She's mine," I said, leaving no room for doubt. Vance shrugged and held up his hands. "Sorry. Thought she was single." After he left, I looked down at Maggie. She was standing very still and staring vacantly at the wall across from us.
"Hey, what's wrong?"
She didn't reply at first, and I was worried she was having some sort of panic attack because she'd started talking to everyone. But finally she turned and looked up at me.
"You're going to have to let people talk to me, West."
"Yeah, I knew that."
"You can't shove them away and claim that I'm yours. It doesn't work that way."
"Wait, what? If another guy's hitting on you, then I sure as hell can. He needed to know you were taken." She frowned and tilted her head. Dark hair fell over one shoulder.
"Will you act this way when every guy talks to me?"
"Probably. Yes," I shrugged. She let out a sigh, and her shoulders fell.
"What are we, West? Because I'm not sure. You say I'm yours, but what does that mean?"
Was she kidding? I thought I had made that very clear a few hundred times already.
"You're it for me, Maggie. I don't ever want anyone else."
She gave me a sad smile, then reached up to touch my face.
"But if you're going to be upset every time a guy talks to me, you'll be miserable. Isn't it enough for me to be your girlfriend and to trust me? I'd never do anything to hurt you."
"I do trust you, and you're so much more than my girlfriend."
but I just need to protect you.
She let out a small laugh.
From the world? Because you can't.
She didn't get it. She was all I had left. She was the only person I loved who hadn't left me. Yes, I can, I replied, my tone harsher than I'd intended. Maggie frowned, and I saw disappointment flash in her eyes. I didn't want that. I'd seen her look at me like that before, and I hated it. I never wanted to let her down. I just needed her to accept I wasn't sharing. I couldn't. I needed her.
West, this thing we have, it's...
She closed her eyes and took a deep breath.
I was there for you when you needed someone, and maybe I've become more of a crutch for you. You get angry if anyone gets near me or speaks to me, and that's not normal. It's unhealthy. I've never given you a reason to be so possessive. This thing between us can't work if you hover over me like a madman.
What the hell did that mean? I just wanted to keep her safe. How was that making me unhealthy? We weren't messed up. And yes, I was jealous, but that was normal. It was normal for me to be jealous. I was in love with her.
I can't lose you. I can't survive. I paused. I need you to make it.
Maggie let out a heavy sigh as she took a step back from me. I fought the urge to reach out and grab her and pull her close again. The distance terrified me.
That's not what a relationship is. You have the strength inside of you to survive. You don't need me to do that.
She paused and closed her eyes tightly, as if she were fighting back tears. I started to reach for her and apologize. Anything to make the sadness on her face go away. But she opened her eyes and stared up at me with a determination that still held unshed tears.
I think it's best if we take a step back. I wanted to be the shoulder you could lean on and the one you could talk to. I wanted you to have everything I didn't. But now I see it's made us something that will never work. I can't be your crutch. That's not fair to either of us.
She reached up and wiped away the single tear that had slid down her face, then stepped back from me some more.
I didn't mean for this to happen. I never meant...
She trailed off and covered her mouth as a sob broke free.
I can't do this, West.
I heard her words, but my mind was screaming for her to stop. She couldn't be saying what it sounded like. But before I could say anything, she turned and walked away, leaving me alone, again. Then she turned and ran. She didn't look back. I stood, helpless and unable to react. The emptiness that haunted me before was clawing at my chest to get back in and suck the life from me. But more than that, I was lost and broken. The one person I thought I could trust had just let me down.
He wasn't alone. I was. Chapter 43. Maggie. Sitting in my room alone was all I wanted to do. Facing how unhealthy my relationship with West had become wasn't easy. It was even harder to push him away, which didn't say much for me. The fact was, I still wanted him. He wasn't the only one guilty here. I was too. I'd created this. I had let him become dependent on me. This wasn't what I'd intended to happen in the beginning. I had imagined finding a way for me to heal too while I helped him. It was a way for me to find peace. But we had become something more, something I never imagined. Falling in love with West Ashby had not been part of my plan. Having to face the truth and let him go was a result of that stupid emotion I'd fallen victim to. Love. But West didn't love me in return. He needed me only to get through. One day he wouldn't need me anymore, and that would be it. There would be no foundation there for us except a shared pain from losing a parent. A swift knock on the door was followed by Brady's entrance before I could even invite him inside. The frown etched on his forehead told me he knew. West had said something to him. I wished he hadn't. I didn't want to talk about it yet.
Are you okay?
He asked, studying me closely. I wanted to tell him yes so he would leave his duties as caring cousin fulfilled. But the words wouldn't come. I shrugged instead. Brady nodded, as if that made complete sense.
He's not